we have two writers in a world where most studios wouldn't have writers for years. So it's a really interesting place to be, and that we can really impact the gameplay and really tie the gameplay into the storytelling and the characters and have all that stuff like start to coalesce at the same time, instead of writers coming in kind of in the 11th hour and being like, okay, like, what can we do with what you've already done and what, like, what is set in stone, which is a diff. Like, I kind of think that would be interesting as well, because then you like have these parameters and you got to make it work. And I think that would be really fun and really challenging and very cool. But it's also like this new way of doing it of like, oh yeah, we're going to bring writers on like right away and we're going to like involve them in every step of the process is very cool.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to episode 46 of SFF Addicts. I'm your host, Adrian M. Gibson, and welcome to your weekly dive into the world of science fiction, fantasy, and writing craft. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, the Chewie to my Han Solo, the Joker to my Commander Shepard, MJ Kuhn. What's up, MJ?
Hi. I'm going to have to learn how to do the Chewie call one of these days so I can just, like, surprise you with it.
Please do.
You ready?
Man, I would be so fucking happy. All right. Good start. Good start. Quick note for everyone who's watching or listening, the official SFF Addicts Patreon and merch store are live. So check the links in the description to support what we do here. Also, don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to the FanFi Addict YouTube channel, where this and every other episode of the show is available in full video. And now joining us once again is J.S. Dewis, author of The Last Watch, The Exiled Fleet, and the newly released Rubicon, because we're recording in the past, but this is coming out in the future, and it will be out the day this episode goes live. So welcome back, Jenny. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you guys so much for having me again. I love to be here.
Oh, that's an absolute pleasure. And a heads up, this is part two of our chat with Jenny. So I recommend checking out part one to get to know her better. But today we'll be plugging into a mini masterclass on video game writing. And just to kick things off, let's get a bit of your perspective on video games. Why do you think video games have become such an important storytelling medium and form of entertainment in our modern age?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think obviously the interactivity portion of it is important to people. Like feeling like you have a stake in the story you're telling is really exciting. I know that's what like drew me to video games, especially like in the age of like Mass Effect and Dragon Age and BioWare games, and like being able to really like do the role-playing aspect of that. You know, we've always had that in the form of tabletop RPGs and things like that, which, you know, I love those as well. But with video games, that puts a visual element to it, which I'm all things visual all the time. So it's always very important to me as well. So it's always just like a very fun thing to like feel like you're not really like playing a movie, but you're getting to participate in a movie and be a real character. And it just sparks the imagination, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it's like Jenny's Pinterest board, come alive. So you mentioned that interactive aspect of it, but what are some other things that fascinate you about video games? And do you remember which video game sparked your love of gaming?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yes, The Dig. It's really? One of those... I think it was one of the Sierra like era of games. I don't know if you guys have played it or know it, but it was one of those things where I again have a terrible memory. but it like sparked in my brain at one point. Not like after I like started promoting my book, where I was like, oh my god, I totally forgot that existed, and I freaking loved that game. Like I was fascinated by it. That, you know, it's sci-fi, so it takes place. I can only tell you so much about what it was about, because again, like I played it so long ago, but like it was just, I remember it being really cool. And it's this like scientist slash soldier slash archaeologist. I'm a huge archaeology buff, so like love that aspect of things and anthropology and all of that. So like having that set in space with aliens, and like it's this mystery, and like all like you're exploring and like digging stuff up. Dig, get it. So yeah, I remember that being like, oh my god, this is really cool. And that was kind of in an era of games where it was like, I don't know, I didn't really like think about it. You know, I played a lot of like the like Mario with my sister and stuff like that, and you know, the kind of Nintendo stuff that a lot of people play. And then my parents got me my first console was the Dreamcast. And at that point, I got Shenmue. And with Shenmue, I was like, oh, like, what is this game? Like, I remember that being another like kind of step forward in my like getting excited about games and like what they could be and like the different kinds. And that was a really big one for me as well. But yeah, if I have to pick one, I'm going to pick the Dig probably. I mean, King's Quest came before that. It's kind of like spiritual, like led me into that. But that was one of those things where it's like my dad and my sister and I like sitting around the computer being like, wow, this is hard. Like, how do we do this? And like calling the like number to get the tips and like all that stuff's pre-internet people.
Yeah, say days before Google.
Netflix by mail and calling the hotline.
I know. Tips. I'm so old, guys.
So many throwbacks.
MJ, I'm really curious. I want to get your, just like, if you remember a game that really got you into it. Because mine, we've talked about it before, but like KOTOR was the game that like made me realize like what games could do in terms of storytelling. So that's Knights of the Old Republic. But King's Quest and Ultima Online, I watched my older brother play Ultima. And then King's Quest was like one that I played with him and really, really loved. But what were one, you know, like a couple games that you remember?
All right, so I have a few, but I didn't get a console at all until the GameCube. They're so cute, right? I would play some games at friends' house and stuff, but like the games that I was playing were like, I don't know if anyone remembers Adventure Quest, Battleon.com. Yes. Yeah. That was my jam. It was just like for anyone that isn't familiar, it's just like a free internet RPG. I guess I think it became like a paywall later because lame. But when I was playing in like, you know, 2004 or whatever year it was like very much free and like completely just horrible graphics. Then it was great. So that was probably my personal gateway drug into gaming.
Nice. That was like RuneScape too. I remember RuneScape was so...
Yes. Yeah, it's the same era.
That browser jam.
Right? Neopets, right? From a cozy game crew. A little Neopets action as well. Yeah.
Neopets was great, man.
Neopets was fantastic. So yeah, that whole vibe.
I love it. MJ, we have, the three of us have a shared...
We do. We have a shared love. Yes. And it's Mass Effect. So anyone that's talked to me about video games for more than 5 seconds knows I'm a giant Mass Effect fan. And I know that you are a giant Mass Effect fan, Jenny. So we have to talk about Mass Effect. And I want to start with some rapid fire Mass Effect questions.
Oh, God.
Okay. Are you ready?
Probably not, but I will try.
Completely opinion based and there are no wrong answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. First, FemShep or male Shep?
Fem, is there a male Shep? Does that exist? Is it a figment of our imaginations?
I could not agree more. Thank you very much. I guess there are right and wrong answers.
Yes.
Paragon.
Even though I'm a male and I was male Shep.
You played male Shep? Because,
Go back and play it and you'll be like, never mind, I never did that.
Thing. The voice acting is a lot better for FemShep. A lot of people agree. Yeah. But anyways, Paragon or Renegade?
Paragon, at least when I played. Nowadays, probably Renegade, honestly.
I'm burnt
after
out,
2020, everyone's Renegade.
You just be like punching people in the face and
yes. Like
genocide
if I played,
and all that jazz.
Yeah, as long as it's just fictional.
Sometimes you need a light genocide, you know?
Exactly. There's a pull quote. No. All right. Are you ready?
Again, I don't care. Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I'm over it. This one is a little more complicated. Ultimate squad to bring with you. So you can pick two, any of the games. Who is, if you pick two, your two teammates.
Okay, well, Garrus.
Duh.
Garrus, just that's the answer because I was so obsessed with Garrus that I just like filled the other slot with whoever, like randomly at different times. I was pretty Ashley ride or die though until I, spoiler alert, killed her. And then I couldn't put her on my team anymore and I was devastated and that's probably why I like Mass Effect so much.
Right. It broke your heart and then we remember
over
it forever.
Over and over again, yes.
I love it. So the squad is Garrus and Someone.
Whoever.
Whoever. Wild card. I love
it. Yeah, whoever you feel like putting in there. Yeah, you didn't need anyone else, just Garrus. All right, yeah. Flip side. Who's the worst teammate from any of the games? Like the one that you're like, I'm never bringing you. You suck.
I probably wouldn't even remember them if I, like, who they were because I wouldn't remember them. But I remember not liking Miranda, like, at all. Something about her just annoyed me.
Yeah, her vibes were like, off.
Yeah. I know a lot of people like her. Like, yeah, I think, like, yeah as a player. Cute, but I was a straight,
kind of just whatever.
Yeah, I was, like, a straight biotic. So anyone in the biotics category was, like, less likely to come like along out than anybody else. Yeah.
The correct answer for this one is Caden Olenko. He has shit biotics and shit guns. Just saying.
I might have never taken him anywhere now that I think about it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Like the worst. Like
he was biotic as well, and like I like romanced him sort of, but like I maybe for that reason, like I'm the kind of role player that for that reason I would have left him back. Yeah, like seriously.
Yeah.
You're like,
keep,
honey,
you
know,
keep your boo safe on the ship.
Like, you stay here.
This is
you're just for kissing.
This is woman's work.
In my guns.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. All right. And this one is just extra fun. What biotic power would you want in real life?
Every one of them. I don't know if I remember what they're called, but there's one where like you could like, especially like once you had advanced it, you could like scoop people up and like it was like a like at first it just lifted someone, but then it like brought them all together.
Singularity,
like,
right?
Yeah, I was almost gonna say that. Yeah, I can remember if that was from the game I'm working on now or the game from then.
I think I was, it's like, called Singularity.
Can I make that up? Yeah. So yeah, I think that one was one of my favorites because I love to do that, and then I'd have Garrus do like a tech bomb thing, and it was like the combo element. Like I love combos in video games, so like anything that could do that was like definitely my jam.
Love it. All right. See, right, that wasn't on. So bad.
That
those
it?
Are all okay, my rapid fires. Yeah.
I like how MJ started out. There are no right or wrong answers. How many times did you mention wrong answer? Right answer.
Just kidding. Lie. There are wrong answers.
It was all a test.
Don't look for the source on my sources there. It is just my opinion.
All right. Well, MJ's right all the time.
It's true. Can we get that as a pull quote?
Sure. Light genocide and MJ's right all the time.
That's what you can take away. Two in tandem.
We're talking about video games, MJ. Come on. So Jenny, you mentioned in the last episode that in this sort of like limbo period where you were doing like some marketing for your husband's company and you ended up getting a dream job. And that dream job was with working for Humanoid Games, which is run by Casey Hudson, who was the creative director and I believe lead writer on Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. I think he was also part of like the KOTOR team. I don't know how much involvement he had with like Dragon Age and all those games. So basically it's like, this is literally your dream job. And it's so cool that you were able to go into novel writing and end up getting recruited for this. So for you, based on your experience now with novel writing and the time that you've spent with Humanoid Games, how do you find that video game writing differs from novel writing?
Pretty much in like almost every way, like from a like craft perspective, at least, like, you know, there's always like the broader like things that can be applied, like, you know, certain plot structures, although that's kind of even that's kind of in a video game is a nebulous thing. So it's like a different way of thinking of things. But like characters are really pretty universal and what drives them, especially non-player characters. It's like applying those things is very easy. And then just, you know, how to like your creative process and like how you just like function as a creative person can kind of come to that. Like, you know, I remember there was some, we wanted like a list of animations of different and random animations we might want. And they were like, here, just put some stuff. And I went to my emotion thesaurus and I looked through some things and I put them on the list. And then I was like talking to a producer about it at one point. And she was like, see, that's why we like, the novel writers, like no one that writes for video games would have ever thought to like go to an emotion thesaurus kind of thing. And I was like, oh, thank you. But also like, yeah, that's interesting. Like bringing in people from like other sides of writing to like get a different perspective on things, especially as games shift toward like, you know, there's always going to be like non-story based games, but there's a big, big shift towards you know, creative storytelling in video games, and people want to see more of that. It's becoming more and more important. So drawing from a bigger pool of writers, I think, is going to become a bigger and bigger thing.
Yeah. Now, do you think the kind of more, you talked about like creating characters for NPCs and stuff, but does that like hands-on nature of the video game for obviously the playable character, how much does that change the process for for the story creation, right?
Yeah, it's a good question, and one I'm still figuring out for sure. We're in kind of a weird situation that not a lot of studios get to be in, where we are brand new, we are creating a new IP from the ground up, so nothing, like, the world is our oyster, whatever we want to figure out, and so there's almost too many options sometimes, where it's like, how do we narrow it down? Like, how do we make these decisions? And, like, we're really big on keeping the studio small, so, you know, we haven't finished hiring all our crew yet, but, you know, we're going to maintain a pretty small like employee count because we want everyone to feel involved in every aspect of things, and that includes writing. So it's really cool because we get all these different perspectives from like all these different sides of the creative team that you might not normally get to talk to in a bigger studio, because there's just, you know, either not time or you don't have the line of communication open. But we're very cognizant about doing exactly that so that we can like kind of feed off each other's energy in that way. And I love that aspect of it. And then, yeah, just as far as like creating like the gamble with characters and player characters and NPCs, it's like we're so not to that point yet that I don't even honestly know how to answer that. This isn't a very good masterclass, is it?
No, it's great because it's fascinating how much of the process happens before, you know what I mean, before we get there. And that's all valuable information too.
Yeah, and that's another thing that is different for us, in that most studios, no matter what your origins, don't get writers right away. Like, I was the 19th hire total, like, including the C team. So, like, they brought a writer on very, very early, and then we got a lead writer about 8 months after that. So, like, we have two writers in a world where most studios wouldn't have writers for years. So it's a really interesting place to be, in that we can really impact the gameplay and really tie the gameplay into the storytelling and the characters and have all that stuff, like, start to coalesce at the same time, instead of writers coming in kind of in the 11th hour and being like, okay, like, what can we do with what you've already done and what, like, what is set in stone? Which is a diff, like, I kind of think that would be interesting as well, because then you like have these parameters and you got to make it work. And I think that would be really fun and really challenging and very cool. But it's also like this new way of doing it, of like, oh yeah, we're going to bring writers on like right away, and we're going to like involve them in every step of the process, is very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But do you think that that's a philosophy that has sort of carried over from what Casey probably experienced at BioWare, where Mass Effect, it's like, I can't imagine that something like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, where these like really, really story heavy series, wouldn't have had writers on earlier on in order to establish like the world building and the lore and the characters and the factions and all these different things that it would have been impossible for other aspects of the studio to really push forward that far.
I think
some baseline to work off of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly BioWare, of all studios, I think involves writers earlier in the process than maybe anyone else. So that's certainly the case. I think my understanding from just like gleaning the situation is that, you know, that a lot of that falls on the creative director of the project, like in the early stages. So you might not have like a writer, but you have someone who is thinking about those things ahead of time and who is like, okay, these are the factions, these are the things. And you know, they're not necessarily writing scenes or writing bios or doing like very specific writer tasks, but they are like keeping that creative vision in their brain and communicating it down to like, you know, the other people below them. And I think in like, you know, Casey was GM of BioWare for a long time, and I think in his case he would kind of had that role at a larger level, whereas like, you know, you might like have a creative director below a GM, and a GM is more of like a managerial thing. I think he kind of took on both of those a lot of the time.
Okay,
and he's incredibly good at it, so I can see how he could do both at once, because he's like very inspiring as well in how he like manages people and deals with people. So I think it's just probably different for different studios, and how we work is going to be different than how a lot of people work, but it works for us. So, you know,
yeah. And on a personal level, how has it been in terms of like all of like the creative energy that you're putting into your work at Humanoid Games and the worlds and scenarios that you're coming up with alongside your team? How is that sort of mixed with your novel projects? And has there been like some overlap where you're just like working on the Divide series and you're like, oh shit, well, I got to toss that idea over to Humanoid Games because that works really well over there. Or like you know, have you found like an easy separation in your mind when you're doing these multiple things at the same time?
Yeah. So definitely both situations have happened where I'll like be, especially with research, like if I'm researching something for one or the other, I'll be like, oh, that's good for this or that's good for this. Like on the creative side of things, I think that happens less often. Partly because we are in that sort of, I don't want to call it limbo state, but like early, very early stages of things where it's like, we're just like world building, like all the time. And, you know, we're making sort of a portion of the game at the same time to like prove stuff out. But it's like very story and world building focused at the moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas with The Divide, I'm currently drafting the third book right now. So it's like, and those are characters I've known and worked with for years, and like the world building is, you know, there's still world building to do, but you know, it's pretty developed, so I'm not like in that sort of stage of the creative process with it. So I think that helps with like separating them in my brain for sure, and just how different the processes are too, like from a like just physical perspective. Like, you know, I'm sitting alone on my couch typing The Divide and then like I'm like on a Zoom call like most of the day with someone, or like talking to people or Slacking or like doing different things, and just the different tasks that I do at my day job. Like, you know, it's not just like sitting in Word typing stuff. I mean, there's a lot of sitting in Word typing stuff, but like it's also like doing a lot of research and being like, I've been an engine a not small amount. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but like, you know, especially when I first started and I was the only writer and there was only 19 of us, it was like, everybody's an engine doing stuff. Like, we're all kind of just making the thing happen. So there was a lot of like, there's a lot of like technical sides of things too that you kind of get to work on and like scratch. And I love that stuff. Like, changing tasks, like getting it, like, because if I don't feel like doing something, like especially on a creative perspective where it's like, okay, this story is not clicking, I'm gonna go over here and like work on this other thing that is uses a totally different muscle, and then I'm gonna come back here and do this. And you can kind of hop around a little more than you maybe could with like novel writing. If you're not on deadline, you might have more of leeway there, but if you are on deadline, then it's like, okay, you just gotta do this one thing, like
Yeah. So we talked a little already about like, you know, adjusting, you know, your writing styles and what makes it different. I'm curious too, though, about if you find that it is a struggle to have enough creative energy for both types of writing. Cause like, I even noticed this. I'm like, my day job isn't all that creative. I write marketing copy. but I still have days where like, you know, I've spent my day writing blog posts for day job. Mm-hmm. And then I try to, you know, plumb the well for creative words for books in the evening, and it's hard. So do you find that, or is that not been in something that you've struggled with?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always hard. Like, you have your hard days, you know, like some days are worse than others for sure. I haven't found it as a like broad problem necessarily. And I think it really does come down to that situation of like where we are in the process and like how different that is from what I'm having to do with my current books. You know, when I move on to another series after this, maybe that will start to become a problem. But by then, we're probably going to be getting into more of the...
I think it's going to like work out perfectly timing-wise for you, actually. Good, yeah.
So it might be okay. But yeah. I think either way, it's kind of like, I feel like my brain, like I will have used 100% of my brain for that day. And I feel that like lethargy of like, I have used 100% of my brain this day and I must sleep now. Like... that has to happen. But it isn't really like a creative drain so much as just like a like mental exhaustion period, like kind of a thing. Cause it's like, but I think again, like once I'm not on like a super tight deadline and I'm getting more into like a regular book schedule, like publishing is slow and games are even slower. So both are gonna, you know, they're gonna work out okay as far as like being able to like have a normal work-life balance at some point, just not currently.
Right, just not this month.
Yeah. And in terms of like curbing that mental exhaustion, I think sinking into a really good video game and a good story is a way to alleviate some of that exhaustion. And this is a two-part question. What games do you love to play for the story? And then the other aspect of it is, what do you think makes for a good story in video games, in terms of a more broader scope kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, a lot of people are going to have different answers. For me, it's characters and mm-hmm. like their impact on the world, and like feeling like you, even if you don't make an impact, actually feeling like you made an impact mm-hmm. actually is the important part for me. I honestly have not played a lot of story-based games lately, because I think it's one of those things where, you know, I'm using it all. So like I can't go, like, even in Justice, where, you know, we like watch like a half an hour for dinner, a TV every night, and like that's pretty much it. mm-hmm. But it's like
it's my limit.
Yeah. Even that's like watching Mando last night, it's like, I freaking love that show. And it's like, I had to like mentally prepare, like, so that I would be ready to like take it in. Whereas like with the other crappy half hour shows, it's just like, okay, put something in my like brain that I don't have to like think about too hard and then move on. So yeah, it's really different, like depending on the day and things. But what was the first part of your question?
What games do you love to play for the story? Or you could even speak on like some games where the stories have been very memorable for you.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously Mass Effect. That's what we're doing here. and Dragon Age is a huge one. Honestly, like there was a time, well, I honestly sometimes, depending on my mood, put Dragon Age 2 above Mass Effect 2 in my like ranking of video games. I freaking love Dragon Age 2. There are so many like moments in that where you are like devastated and you're like, oh my god, did they just do that in a video game? Like, what am I playing? Like, yeah. And like moments where I'd be talking to my friend like who's playing it, and he'd like mention a brother, and then I'm like, you had a brother? Like, what are you talking about? I had a sister? Like what's going on? Like a lot of moments like that where it's just like, we played two different games, didn't we? Like, and that's just cool. Like, even if you don't go back and replay it, just like knowing other people are out there having different experiences than you, like, mm-hmm. but you can still talk about it and like have that community around it. Like, that is a really cool part of things. And then outside the BioWare realm, because that does exist.
biased here.
I do really enjoy the Fallout franchise. I haven't played the 1 and 2, but 3 and 4, you know, it's a different kind of storytelling, because really it's very, you know, open world. There's a different way of going about it. And you're kind of like more of a faceless character than in mm-hmm. the other games. But like, it's always just very interesting. And maybe that's more like on the world building side of things than really like the storytelling side of things. But I love Fallout. Like, I've always found those really interesting. And Horizon Zero Dawn, I love too. I've not got to play the new one yet, because I just so keep good. Being on deadline.
I've heard it's but
I am very excited to. I watched my nephew play like the opening thing, and then I was like, I gotta stop watching, because I'm gonna play this someday. I can't watch more than this. Oh my god. But yeah, that one I remember really connecting with it too. Like, it was just one of those where it was like, okay, this is like super fun. I connect with it. Like, it's sci-fi, but also feels like fantasy in certain ways. And like, it was a very cool game. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think, or do you think there's a difference between what makes a great story in a video game versus in a novel? Because you did mention, like, with, you know, Dragon Age, and then also with Mass Effect, you know, the fact that there can be different experiences. You know, I guess people can have different experiences with a novel depending on how they read it. But in general, you know, everyone gets the same words. you know, do you find that there's different things you're striving for to make the story great in your books versus what you're aiming for with the games?
Yeah. So for me personally, as a writer, it's characters again, and relationships are the main thing. And I think like as a society, that's kind of just where we're moving towards with our storytelling at the moment anyways. Not that the other stuff isn't important, but just being able to connect to those characters. And, you know, in a novel, it's like, yes, you're trying to get your reader to connect to a character, and that might look different functionally in a video game, but it's still the same thing you're trying to accomplish. You just have to get at it a different way. Like, it's a little more complicated with the video game, because it's like, you know, how are they experience, like, what kind of player character is it? Like, how are, you know, is it like a, is it like a shepherd situation or a hawk situation or a, you know, inquisitor situation? Like, there's a lot, or a, you know, a Fallout like lone wanderer situation. Like, there's a lot of different types of protagonists in video games, and like how you convey character that way is really complicated and like difficult, I've learned. And it's interesting, like I love figuring it out, but it's like just very different. And then, you know, the NPC side of thing is a little more like novel writing, where you have a lot of control. You know, it's very authored experience typically, and like there might be branching options and different things you can do, but their personality is probably going to be the same no matter what. Yeah, so that kind of aligns more for me. But yeah, it's just about figuring out like how are you going to get your player or your reader to connect to that character, and then devastating them beyond belief.
The evil comes out.
That's the modern renegade, Jenny. Yeah.
I told you, I warned you.
It was 2020, Jenny.
I agree about the character thing though, because, you know, for me as like as a writer and a reader and a gamer, character is so vital to the experience. It's like I need to have that connection there. But we've spoken about the interactivity of video games. And for you, when it comes to that kind of character focus that you prefer as a gamer and as a writer as well, how do you think gameplay can enhance the connection that a gamer can have, not only with their POV character, whether it's something like the faceless kind of role in something like Fallout, or a more well-defined character like Commander Shepard in the Mass Effect series? How do you think that gameplay aspect can put video games a step above what a story could do in terms of that level of connectivity? Because I think connectivity is that like really key thing there.
Yeah, definitely. So this is another one where I'm going to say it depends, because there are just, again, so many ways of a protagonist existing in a game that it's like, you know, are there classes? Is it just like a set, you know, rule of like, these are your powers? Like, a lot of video games are that way. A lot of, you know, RPGs have more of like the class system, or you're speccing into something, or you're making a choice that way. So like, that's obviously going to be a hard, the more that branches, the more variety there is there, the harder that is to kind of like make a like authored protagonist like tie it into that, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I think that's where it kind of falls on the world building, to be like, okay, like what is the situation here, and like what groups all protagonists in this, you know, with like Dragon Age Inquisition, it's you're the Inquisitor. It doesn't matter what your background is or all the different things you pick, you're the Inquisitor, and this is your thing, and this is what's going on, and like how that connects to different things. Whereas like, you know, with Mass Effect, you're a soldier and you're a Spectre and you're a part of this specific organization. So like that kind of groups you at least. Whereas in other games, which honestly is a type of game I don't play a lot of, where you are just a character, like you are just a very specific named character. Like, I mean, I guess Dragon Age 2 is that way technically, but it really does not feel that way. And you are still picking a class, and it doesn't feel quite as authored as some games are. I guess like Last of Us is that way. Like, where it's like, you know, you are this very specific character. And like, I mean, that's honestly just like playing a movie. Like, that's on the extreme end of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely like more towards like the other way, where you're still kind of picking stuff, but you're still very authored character. And it kind of depends where it lies, like how much you can connect that. This is a big topic of conversation at my current job.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I can't share specifics, but like, as far as like, we really want to make sure that like, that gameplay is super connected to who the characters are, what they're doing in the situations, and like make it feel like it stems out of their personalities and like mm-hmm. how that can, you know, grow throughout the course of the game and change over time and change pending circumstances or choices or things like that, which is a lot of like up in the air a little still because, again, we're early. But like it's a big important thing for us. And I think it's going to be a big important thing for a lot of studios moving forward is like allowing that choice while still like really making like allowing different types of people to connect to the characters.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up earlier, just like in terms of the role of writers in different studios, like sometimes they're brought in very far along. I wanted to get your perspective on games that don't necessarily have a specific playable storyline, where it's something that's more like player versus environment or player versus player, but there's still like an underlying fabric of the world building of, you know, character classes and sometimes like even in games like Overwatch or Fortnite, where there's like there are characters that you can kind of assume the role of, and then there's like a broader story within that world. How do you feel that writers fit into that kind of framework, like that kind of development framework, as opposed to something more story oriented like what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I honestly don't play a ton of games like that. just a time thing, not because like mm-hmm. I, you know, if I'm gonna gravitate towards a game, it's probably gonna be a more story-based game. But thinking of like Fortnite, which I played the non-battle royale version when it first like was in beta, like I played a lot of that, and that for me was really about like the experience I was having with my friends. So like mm-hmm. the story mattered, and like but we wanted to talk about it and like experience it together and do different things together and like talk about it, you know, when we aren't even playing the game, and like you know, be excited about the next thing that was happening. And like that's yeah. kind of that MMO vibe too a little bit, though those are typically very story based. Well, maybe not all of them, but the ones that I play. But like for me, yeah, it's more like those kind of things are more about like the community around it. I know there are a lot of people that say that about RPGs too. I typically don't like get involved in the like community side of RPGs because like I don't like spoilers, and like I don't want to see people bitching about a game I love, and like I just want to like sit in my little innocent bubble and not know anything. So like I don't like get involved in that. But like when it comes to other, like I want to like Destiny and play it. I've just never had the time. And the one time I tried to play it, the loading screens were so long. This was Destiny 2 that I just like couldn't. I was like, I don't have time to sit here and watch a game load. I have to go. Yeah. So
you can't even lose an hour to daylight savings.
Like, get out seriously. Of here, so. Daylight savings thing is going to screw me, you guys. I'll just sleep an hour less. It's fine.
The healthy decision, clearly.
Yeah, yes, of course. Oh, but yeah, so I think for me, it's kind of about that. And then just like, there's like a side of like, I play a lot of city builders. It's kind of like my go-to, mm-hmm. like I can play this for 30 minutes and cool. And I don't get that invested and whatever, but there's still like a story there that you feel come through. Like, and a lot of that is like, it's just like the sort of fan fiction like thing for me, where it's like, mm-hmm. I get to kind of fill in what's happening with this little city, and like, oh God, they got mauled by a wolf. Like, that's awful. Like, and like kind of building those stories yourself. It's like a kind of like totally different way of like, you're still mm-hmm. conveying a story. It's just more about the situations and world building and the like aesthetics and different things that are happening. And you're letting the player kind of make their own thing, which is super cool way of telling stories as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, well, and you talked a little bit about community, for better or for worse. And I want to kind of circle that around to, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I'm just so fascinated by the concept of like the collaborative writing experience, because I have never written anything creative collaboratively before in my life. So like the whole concept of it seems so foreign to me and fascinating. So like, what does that process look like? How is it brainstorming and writing with a team of other creatives?
Yeah, it's honestly, I was very worried about it at first, like when I first like joined, and I was like, because in a lot of my like, I did like a round of interviews with them, and when I like first talked to Casey, like they liken it to like a writer's room for a TV show, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, like I've never been part of a writer's room, like you know, I wrote a lot of scripts and I worked with people on scripts, but it was just like you just work with another person on it for like films, for like shorts or features or things like that. So I'd never been part of like a TV writer's room, like what you would traditionally think of that way. And I was like, oh God, like, am I going to suck at this? Whatever, I'm going to do it. Like, yeah, but like, you know, practically, like now that I'm in it, it's like, for some people, I can totally see how it might feel that way. And, you know, it's just me and one other writer at the moment. So, like, we don't really have, like, a writer's room happening. And at some point, like, when we're really generating missions fast, like, it's probably going to feel a little more like that. But for me, it just felt, again, like filmmaking, like, you're just a bunch of very talented people in this room with you. And they all have different backgrounds and different experiences and different tastes and all kinds of different things, and like just having that at your disposal to be like for example, again, I can't super be specific, but like we're working on this like choice decision for this like mission we're proving out, and as we were writing it, we were like, oh, like who would ever choose option A? Like, is it too much this way or the other? And we're like, we're just gonna put it in and see what people think. And literally it was like 50-50 A and B, and we were like, what? Wow. There are people that choose, like, we were like totally floored that there were people that like adamantly would choose B, like, or A or whatever, like one way or the other. And now I'm in this mindset of like, oh my God, like what even is morality? Like, I don't even know, because these are all people that know that share a lot of the same values as we do, but like are choosing these two very different options. And of course it comes down to like how they might play a video game or like not necessarily what they would do if literally faced with that situation, but like what they would do in the game. And it's like, okay, that's like super interesting. And like, just to have that like at your disposal to be like, okay, here's a poll, like here's a situation, like would you choose A, B, or C, and like seeing what people think. And then like, you know, in Slack, it just becomes this thread of like people's opinions and discussions and going back and forth.
Silent
and it's like
judgment.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super energizing and just cool to be like, okay, like, you know, we feel like we still ultimately have control over what's going to happen, but just this pool of super creative, awesome people that like we trust and that, you know, aren't going to be upset if we don't listen to them, but just want their opinions to be heard, and just like feeding off that energy is super. Yeah. It's inspiring and fun. And yeah, I love it.
So cool. And building on that, you know, you're not just working with writers, but you're also working and collaborating with other teams within the broader studio. So it's like you have programmers and designers and artists and all these people who are kind of working together to envision something bigger than what exists right now, which is really cool. And something that I love about video games is this, just the process of how it can blossom from these very disparate pieces that come together and form a really cool. And this is why it's like, if you play a game and it's buggy, don't be so fucking judgmental, because it's like, this is an insane endeavor.
I hate when, like, even before I got in games, I was like, what? Like, it's a BioWare game. It's going to have bugs. We all know this. Yeah, like, why are you all surprised? Like,
exactly. It's like you play Skyrim and like mammoths are flying into the air. It's like, don't worry about it, man.
Right. Let's just roll with it.
It's hilarious.
Just like, roll with the absurdity. But for you, you know, are there, in the case of this choice in this mission that you described, you know, having the opportunity to get other people's takes on it, but also, you know, noticeable constraints or things that you feel might not be possible from a design perspective or a programming perspective that can kind of like, you know, lead you into like, maybe we shouldn't do this scene because it would be like, explode the PC because it's like so bad, it's like so heavy in terms of like the amount of stuff that's going on or things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, there's a, so I worried about that a lot when I first started because I knew absolutely nothing. I mean, I still worry about it, but like it was a lot of like, I have like no framework to know what is possible for this. Like, I have a very rudimentary 2D like After Effects graphics understanding, like that is all I know. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I asked a lot of questions and they answered a lot because they're all awesome and were like very helpful. And what I have learned up to this point is to just like not assume anything, like something is impossible from the start, and just like find the person that can answer that question and be like, is this impossible? Or like, gut check me on this, like what's going on? And like, they will probably know 8 different ways of accomplishing that same thing that you never mm-hmm. thought of. And you're like, oh yeah. And like, not only like, are you right, but that's better. Or like, there's a different way of doing it that like achieves the same thing, but will be way easier or simpler or more possible. And then there are things where it's like, I'm still learning this list, where it's like things you wouldn't think would like be a big problem, but are like stairs. Like, it's 2023 and stairs are like
our kryptonite
problem.
I've heard like, doors are like a big thing in video games as well.
Doors are a big thing, yeah. I think. Like, we haven't had a lot of issues with doors, but we haven't had a lot of doors so far. Like, actually,
I mean, it's like sci-fi. So we'll have doors, like automatic sliding doors or something.
Yeah, it's these weird things. A lot of terrain related issues are just like, you wouldn't really think it'd be that big of a problem, but it's like super big problem. Whereas like all these like awesome effects things are like, oh yeah, we can do that, no problem. Like, it's not a big deal at all. So yeah, I've kind of just learned to ask. And then the other writer that started I think maybe almost 6 months ago at this point. He's like a lead writer and is actually has written for games for many, many years. And he's awesome. And he has been so helpful. Like, I have like feel like exponentially grown since he started, just for like having him as a resource every day to be like, mm-hmm. what the hell? And he still understands like the writer side of things as well. Yeah. And like, I don't have to like feel like I'm dumb every time I ask a designer, like if they can like walk upstairs or something, like, you know, he like knows all this stuff.
Can I have two levels in this scenario?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so that has been super helpful because he just has that experience to know those things. But I've even learned with like him and how he'll react to certain things is it's like even he is like questioning himself because the technology is growing so fast that like even the people who work in it every day are like, oh, holy shit. Like, yeah. We didn't know that this was possible. And like the weird thing about video games, which maybe you guys know this, but I never knew this, is that you don't like go into Unreal and like have a set. I mean, you kind of do, but like a set of tools to make a game. Like every studio like makes a set of tools like from scratch. And like sometimes even every time you start a new game, like if it's the same engine or something, like when like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, like they used like the same bits to make the thing. So that was like a lot easier. But a lot of time you start over and you like make all new things, and then by then everyone's consoles have changed and everyone's computers have changed, and then you're like doing all this different stuff. And it was like this thing, because like one of the first things they wanted me to do like early on when I started was like find a writing tool, like what are you guys gonna write the video game in? And I was like, what? Like,
you're like, I don't know.
You don't have like a thing like that you guys write. Like literally, like but like it's just this weird thing where it's like everybody, like every studio has like a writing tool, and it feeds into the dialogue pipeline, and it feeds into the sound effects pipeline, and all those things coalesce into the game. And then it's super complicated. And like, there's so much stuff that they have to like make from scratch that like,
and that's why that's probably why like the timeline is so ridiculous for
it's games. Crazy. And I
the
think it's why like
have time.
Yeah, and like hopefully at some point there will be like more of that kind of thing where you can kind of like just like get a thing, because like even when they like will get a plugin and they'll be like, oh, this plugin does this and that'll be great, and then they end up like changing it so much that it's a totally different thing.
It doesn't do it anyway.
Okay, this is just ours now. Yeah, like it's totally different. So like there's a lot of that, and that part of things surprises me as well, and that's why I just ask half the time, because it's like things are changing so fast that there's no way I can keep up with it if they can't even keep up with how much stuff is changing. And like if they think it's a cool idea, they might do some research, figure out that this guy at this studio put this thing on LinkedIn or YouTube or whatever that explains how to do a thing, and then you can do the thing, and then yeah, you keep going. So there's a lot of that, and then a lot of just like balancing of like resources and like, okay, like if we're gonna have this like space station, let's say, and we're gonna make 8 of those space stations because they all use the same assets, cool, then you can make 8 space stations and that's awesome. But then it's like you can't have 8 different looking space stations because it will just take 8,000 years to make your game, like
right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of like that, of like figuring out like how much can, and they're all asking that, like not only me, but like they don't know the answer to that either, because it's like what's important to our game, like where do we want to spend those resources and what matters more to us and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like that kind of technical trading, and then figuring out how to do the thing on the writer side of things. And for me, like, I almost like when there's like a restraint. I'm like, yes, okay. Like, this is a limit I know I have, exactly. And I can like write around exactly. It.
Yeah, I can figure like, out yeah. where I am. Yeah.
Whereas just like the sky's the limit, do anything, which has its benefits too. Right. And like it's Casey fun, really encourages that. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, yeah. It's like, what are yeah. my parameters to work within? Like, anything?
There are no not parameters. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, I just have a final question that that I wanted to pop out here, where if you had to give a piece of advice to any writers out there that might be listening that are interested in getting into video game writing, what advice would you have for them?
It's a good question. Like, we do these things called coffee chats where we kind of just group up with a single person like on Slack and talk to them. And like, it's a way to stay connected since most of us aren't working out of an office. And every one of those, I start by saying, hey, what's your job? Because I'm not from video games, so I don't know what's happening. Like, literally don't even know. Like, when it was smaller, it was easier to keep track of who did what. But now it's like, I literally have no clue what you do, man. Like, yeah. what do you do? Explain it to me in layman's terms. And I've learned through that literally nobody comes from the same like background. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard the same or even a similar story once. Like, a lot of people don't even come from like having gone to school in it necessarily, and just learned either through a different profession or like stumbled into it accidentally a different way. So there's a lot. I wouldn't say there's like any single way where it's like, go do this one thing that I have learned so far. I wish that there was. But I would say, I mean, write, produce, like practice, like in whatever form that takes, if it's fan fiction, if it's, you know, your own novels, if it's whatever it is, if it's writing games, there are so, with the technology changing, there are so many indie studios now, and mm-hmm. just like single individuals at home making like games that blow up. So like, yeah. If you can kind of connect with that community, you know, it's just like my regular writer advice, like connect with the community, figure out who is doing what and where, and maybe you can like give some world building text to some random indie dev, you know, for $200 or something, but then you have that in, and when he makes it big at Bethesda the next year, he's gonna recommend you. And like, because I've learned, like, as we're hiring, like almost every hire is a recommendation from someone else at the studio. Like, there are certainly some that are not, but or they've at least worked with someone in there before. So it's one of those industries where everybody knows everybody, and yes, anywhere well, you can kind of industry. Like, yeah, like get involved is a good thing for sure.
I love that.
Yeah. And it kind of, it's kind of like the writing community too.
Just, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The more people you can know, and yes, it's like a who you know thing, but also knowing more people helps you learn more about the industry mm-hmm. and what mm-hmm. you need to do, and helps you grow. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice note to end on. I love it. It's all about community, man. It's
right?
all about
community. Always comes back to community.
Always. All right. Well, that's it for our mini masterclass and our two-parter with Jenny. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat video game writing with us. It really means a lot.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was a blast, pleasure. As always.
Yeah. And for anyone who contributes to our Patreon at $10 or more a month, you can check out Jenny's reading of Rubicon. And Jenny, could you let everyone know where they can find you on social media and where they can go pick up Rubicon, because it is out.
It's in the future and it's out. So yeah, my website is just jsduis.com, and it's at jsduis on all the socials. And then Rubicon is available pretty much, I think, wherever you can get a book, more or less. It is paperback, ebook, and audiobook are all coming out the same day, so they are perfect. All out for your consumption. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. And go go pick up The Last Watch in the XL fleet.
Yeah, they're all good. And, you can't go wrong. They're so good. Yeah.
And then just like MJ, you'll be waiting for the next 998 books in the series.
Exactly. So. We're going to count every last one of them, Jenny.
Every last one, Jenny. All right, and you can follow SFF Addicts on Instagram and Twitter at SFF Addicts Pod, and you can follow me at Adrian M. Gibson. MJ, what about you?
Yep, you can find me across all the major socials, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at MJ Kuhn Books.
Awesome. Now, keep reading, keep imagining, and we'll see you next time on SFF Addicts.